you have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would, the book of Job. The book of Job is in the Old Testament, a little bit left of center of your Bible. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. Please feel free to pick it up and use it. I did put the text in, part of the text, in the bulletin this morning, if you would like to follow along there as well. And I want you to be able to have the Bible. There will be some very specific words and verses that we will look at as God stirs in our heart and makes His message known to us today. I must confess to you that I'm preaching a message to you that God gave to me on Friday. And if you've ever had the experience of having God change a message on you, you know that that's a frightening experience. But it's also a tremendous experience as you know that God wants to do something special. He has a direction for the service in which we find ourselves today. And I'm preaching to you from my heart. I'm preaching today to bless you and encourage you. I want you to know some things right up front. Often I have the wonderful privilege of receiving from you blessing. And as the pastor, I enjoy it. And I'll preach something or go through something or have something, and you will say something like, "Pastor, you blessed me," or "That sure was a blessing," or that encouraged me. And I do enjoy hearing that. Don't stop that. I need that. Preaching and pastoring, unless you've ever done it, is tremendously vulnerable. And sometimes you need God's people just to encourage you, and you do a wonderful job, and you'll tell me, "Pastor, you blessed me." But I want you to know something. You bless your pastor. And I love you. We have something unique here at Plantation Baptist Church that is not at every church. We have wonderful people. I'm blessed to pastor people that love the Lord Jesus with all their heart, mind, and soul. I'm blessed to pastor people that love the Word of God, who want the Word of God, who listen to the Word of God, who appreciate the Word of God. Sometimes I preach a message and I go home and I think they are never coming back again. And then I come home or come back next Sunday and there you sit. And you're happy and you got a smile and you enjoy. And sometimes I go home and I'm thinking, "Man, I was too hard on them. I shouldn't have preached it that way. Why didn't I say this? How did that come across?" And man, you don't understand the battle that a pastor has. And eventually you just have to come to the point where you just trust the Lord to do what the Lord's going to do. So when I pray sometimes, "God, give me the words to say," I literally mean, "God, give me the words to say." And then when I go home and I think, "Oh, I may have made them mad. But God, that's your fault. You was the one that said to do that." But I guess what I'm trying to say is that I love you. And over the last year or so, I have been watching you go through certain things in your life. And I guess it was just culminated to me when I got to that hospital room Friday night. And they were getting ready to do a procedure. And Raul said, "Pastor, come." And he called me on the way. And I knew that they were rushing her to a thing. And he wanted to have prayer. And so I am driving like a heathen down Flamingo Road. And I'm in my mind working out what I'm going to tell the police officer when he pulls me over. And I get there and I rush in and I rush up and he walks out to me and he says, "She's in God's hands." Oh. In my flesh, I wanted to say something spiritual, something that would encourage, something. And God just closed my mouth like he did the lions in the den. I got a big mouth. And he just closed it and he said, just stand there. And so I was in the hallway and they have a rail that goes along the wall, and I stood by the rail and Raul stood there with me. And I was humbled because this is not the first man that I have stood with. I have stood with many of you in the hospitals, sometimes when life is granted and sometimes when life is taken away. And I have stood with you in your difficulties in your marriages, with your children, with your health. You have stood with me at the difficult moments of my loss. And I just stood there and I thought, what a joy it is to worship with people who love and trust the Lord. She's in God's hands. And when that statement came, it came with such peace. Man, I was so humbled by that. And after that, he just said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I was reminded about Job in that moment. In Job chapter 1, verse number 20, Job makes a great declaration that you know about. In verse number 20, the Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And he did what, class? He worshiped. And he said this in verse 21, and you've heard it before. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Read the rest of that out loud with me, please. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You know, sometimes you can read the Bible and you get so familiar in your reading that sometimes verses, it's not that they lose their power because they're the Word of God, but they lose their effect on you. You know when you read the Bible, and then you know when you really read the Bible. And by the way, you should, when you read the Bible, always ask God to teach you the Word of God. And so sometimes I think we read this passage here and we understand that naked came we out of our mother's womb and then naked shall we return. But I'm not sure we understand the depth of what Job was saying here. When you understand the text of what Job was saying and the setting of where he is, and then you say, Job says, I understand that the Lord gives and I understand the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I have been with you when we've celebrated life like we celebrated Deborah today. But I've also been when God hasn't spared the life, when God has given and when God has taken. And many times in our church, I have watched our people, and I'm telling you this from my heart, man, I have watched our people in moments when I'm not sure I would have done that, lift up their hands and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I love you for that. That ought to be the heartbeat of all of us. Amen? It was a marvelous statement that Job made. It was a miraculous statement that Job made. The motivation of this statement is unbelievable, especially when you learn the text. Go, if you would, to verse number 13, same chapter. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses were feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I am only escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, this is the third time, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, this is the fourth time, there came also another and said, thy what class? Not servants, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Listen, Job didn't say flippantly, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job faced a day that was horrible. It was a terrible day. It was a day in which he lost everything he had. And yet in the middle of all of that loss and suffering, Job has the ability to lift up his hands and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Pastor, how is that possible? Well, there's people in this room that know how it's possible. There's people in this room that have done that. I have walked with you when you have done that. And it is possible on your worst day to still bless the name of the Lord. And I want to show you from this passage four things that Job did or was that I believe helped him to be able to bless the Lord and to praise the Lord and worship the Lord in the midst of his loss. And the first thing he did is found in verse number 8. And if you'll look at that, this is a conversation we're going to dive into in a little bit. And the conversation says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now God is volunteering Job here for a job. Here's the description that God gives about Job. There is none like him in the earth. What a statement. A perfect and upright man, one that, say it, class, feareth God. Feareth God. Pastor, on those days, on the most terrible day of my life, Pastor, I'm in some situations now. I have suffered some loss. I have hurt. We are in the midst of a trial. On the most terrible day of my life, how does somebody lift up their hands and say, blessed be the name of the Lord? You'll never say that if you don't first fear God. Above everything, Job feared God, or he reverenced God. Everything about Job and everything in Job's life was measured at the fear of God. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you fear God? That word fear carries with it the idea of reverence. And what he's talking about there is, to Job, everything culminated in God. To Job, nothing that he owned was measured above the Lord. Even his very life, his wife, his children, the things that he had, the possessions that he had, all of it came under the authority and the position of him fearing God. And so on the worst day of this man's life, he never lost his fear of God or his reverence of God. Now, I believe that Job, the Bible scholars teach us, he was one of the earliest men on the earth. Job was probably before Abraham even. Job was early. This book was written early. And Job had a relationship with the Lord, and he walked with the Lord, and he knew the Lord, and he feared God. The Bible says when you fear God, you don't need to be afraid of anything else. You don't have to fear what man can do. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's pertaining unto life. And so this man on his worst day was able to bless the name of God because he feared God. By the way, I think it would do well for God's people to fear God today. Do you fear him? Do you love him? Do you reverence him? One of the signs that you fear God is found in verse number 8. He said, the one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Job feared God and he hated evil. Not only did Job fear God, but when you come to verse number 20, the Bible says that he also worshiped God. When he got this news, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground, and he worshiped God. He did not let the circumstances or the trials or the hardships or the loss of his life rob him from the position of worshiping his God. Now look at your pastor. Nothing in your life has the right to rob God of his worship due from you. I'm going to show you some powerful things in just a moment. No circumstance, no loss, no trial, nothing that we encounter in our life can we use as an excuse, or should we allow as a difficulty to rob me from giving the Lord the worship due his name. So on his worst day, he still says, God, I fear you. And I worship you. You've given and you've taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not only did he fear God, not only did he worship God, seeing God as the preeminence of his life. When you look at verses 21 and 22, the Bible says, that's our text, he came out of my mother's womb naked, and shall I return thither? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned what, class? Not, nor charged God foolishly. Not only did he fear God, and not only did he worship the Lord during these days, he trusted God. And this is the meat of my message. This is the heart of my message. I want you to understand something. There has never been, nor will there ever be a moment when God is untrustworthy. You and I are horribly untrustworthy. Man is horribly untrustworthy. But God is not. God is perfect. God is sinless. God is holy. God is eternal. And God is trustworthy. And you got to remember that on the good days, and you got to remember that on the bad days. So here's Job. His children are murdered. I'll show you in a minute. They're murdered. Well, Pastor, I thought the winds blew the house down, right? And they were murdered. Everything the man owns is gone. Stripped from him. Possession, things, dignity, health, everything is stripped from the man. And yet, in all of that, Job says, God gave, and God has taken away, and I trust him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to ask you a question, a personal question. I asked you, do you fear God? I asked you, are you worshiping God? Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Now, I didn't preach on it today. I'll preach on it next week. But one way that evidence you trust God is you tithe. Do you trust God? Do you trust God with your life? Do you trust God with your decisions? Do you trust God with the things of your life? Do you even involve God in the direction of your life? If God was to come to you and say, quit your job and go to the mission field, serve me and I'll take care of you, Blessed be the name of the Lord, or find somebody else. Do you trust him? Trust God. Could you say they're in God's hands and have peace about that? Now, I don't know that I could have done that. I've watched families after families. I told you, you bless me, you teach me. I watch you as I counsel sometimes. I watch what you do, and I think when you leave the room, I think, God, I don't even know if I could do that. You're asking them to do this. And then when you will take a step of faith and stand on the word of God, and God comes in and meets you, I'm so humbled by it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do we trust God? This man said, you've given, you've taken away, and I'm just going to trust you. Fascinating. Now, Job did not know what you and I know. I'm going to show you right now in this Bible that there was a conversation about Job's life that he had no idea that happened. And this conversation about his life didn't happen amongst his friends. It was a conversation that God and Satan had. Now, you and I, we have the privilege to know about this conversation. And to whom much privilege is given, there's much responsibility that is required. And Job was able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he didn't know about this. But you and I are going to be confronted face to face with this. It's fascinating. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. Now, there was a day, we keep reading that phrase in the book of Job, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. These would be the angels of God. And Satan came also among them. Interesting. He came to the throne room of God. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. I think God knew where he was at. He just wanted to ask him. And then Satan's walking. Now, verse number 8, God exposes the motive of why Satan. Satan didn't communicate this, but God exposes him in verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? How would you like to be volunteered by God? So what was Satan doing? Well, Peter said Satan walks about this world as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan hates God. And so Satan was making his way through humanity, and he was looking for an opportunity to destroy man. He was looking for an opportunity to destroy God. And he was walking around seeking whom he could devour. And he comes into the throne room of heaven, and God says, why don't you try Job? Thank you, God, very much. Verse number 8, I went on and he talked about the character of Job. Look at verse number 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? He's questioning his motive here of Job. Hast not thou made a hedge about him? Man, Job was a great man. About his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will, what class? Curse thee to thy face. Ooh, that makes me want to stop and ask a question. Have you or do you curse God? Have you? Or do you curse God? Satan said, now God, everybody knows Job's blessed. Satan's over here. In my illustration, God's over here. Satan says, everybody knows that Job's blessed because you've got him all protected and kept and everything like that. Touch him. Strip him. Hurt him. Do something to him. He'll curse you. Not only will he curse you, he'll curse you to your face. I would dare say most of us have cursed people behind their back. Satan said, he'll curse you to your face. Pretty aggressive. Satan had done that to God. And so Satan said, he's no different. Touch him. He'll curse you to your face. God's response to this is amazing. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Fascinating. God says to Satan, so you think he'll curse me? So here's what you can do. Touch everything he has, but don't touch his life. Now, this is a conversation between God and Satan. Where's Job? Job is over here on the earth minding his own business, serving God, enjoying his family, enjoying his labor, enjoying the wealth. Job is having a wonderful life, and God and Satan are having a conversation over the power and the glory of God. And Satan is calling the authority of Christ a liar. Satan is going after the integrity of God. And Satan says to God, you've got a false man over there who loves you not for who you are, but what you can do. I challenge you, touch him and see what he does. And there's this battle over the authority of heaven. And old Job, he's over here just enjoying his life. And God says, okay, go touch him. Touch all he has. Don't touch him. Aren't you glad that God limits the power of Satan? Now, when you read from verses 13 all the way down to verse 19, like we just read, Satan went and murdered everything Job has. And at the end of that awful day, Job lifts up his hands and he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job trusted God, period, in the good and in the bad, in the explainable, in the unexplainable, in the awesome and in the awful. And Job said, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand, but you're God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you not find that amazing? If so, say amen. Amen. Not only did he fear God, and he worshiped God, and he trusted God, he submits to God. Now, just about the time you think this thing is about to end, you look at chapter 2, verse number 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Here we go again. That there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Wow. Wow. Although thou movest me against him, to destroy him without cause. So here's God. God's confronting Satan. God says, wait a minute now. You told me that if I let you touch him, he would curse me. Not only would he cursed me to my face. Where you been, Satan? Oh, walking up to and fro around the earth. Have you considered Job? Yeah, I murdered everything he had. And still he retaineth his integrity? Isn't that awesome? So let me ask you a question. Do you love the Lord? If so, say amen. Are you saved? So I'm sure you've had good moments where God has given to you. What do you do when God takes from you? How's your integrity? How is your trust? How is your worship? How is your fear? Have you cursed him? Can God say about you, I used his life to get glory for me. I allowed something to happen so that I could further the gospel or further the blessing. He did not retain his integrity. He did not trust me. Matter of fact, he cursed me to my face, and now he no longer wants anything to do with me. He stopped serving me. He stopped praying. He stopped trusting. He's bitter. He's angry. All he does is hold something against me. But in reality, I loved him, and I had a plan for him, and I was going to use him for my glory and do something for his good. And this is where we were headed. But he did not retain his integrity. Now look at your preacher. Understand this. God has a plan for your life. And sometimes that plan involves giving to you, and sometimes that plan involves taking from you. You and I are not God. But yet God uses our lives. And what God wants from us is the submission to him, to trust him that he will carry us through. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 4 of chapter number 2. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Now, I cannot explain to you why God would put one of his children in the hand of Satan to allow Satan to do whatever, but I do know this. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I do understand that God limited what Satan could do, and God allowed that process to happen. Now, what you need to understand, when God allows something that you don't understand, God has a plan and a purpose. And most of the time, he's working an eternal purpose. See, we hurt, and we have pain, and we suffer loss, but we are created beings. God is infinite. So we have this earthly vantage point, but God is looking down from eternity. God sees our 70, 80, 90 years just as a moment, just as a vapor, but there's all eternity. We get so caught up with our earthly life that we forget about eternal life. And God is using your earthly life to prepare you for glory, to get glory from us. And so as God works in our life, yes, he's concerned when he hurts. Yes, he's concerned when it's difficult. Yes, he's concerned when there's loss, but he's working an eternal purpose. And you better know that. Let me ask every grandfather here in this world, would you die for your grandchildren to go to heaven? Amen. Grandma, grandpa, would you give your life if you knew your kids would go to heaven? Dad and mom, would you not give your life for your kids to love the Lord? So understand that's what God's doing in your life. And sometimes he takes us through the valleys, but he takes us through those valleys so he can work his eternal purpose. And Job said, I fear you. I worship you. I trust you. I submit you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But most of God's people, we curse him. Why would you do that? That hurts. Stop. Don't do that. Not Job. Verse number 7, here's what Satan did to him. This is fascinating. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. How would you like that? From the sole of his foot unto his crown, from top of his head to the bottom of his foot. He took a potsherd to scrape himself. That's disgusting. He sat down among the ashes. Then said his godly wife. Notice that's not in the Bible. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine, say it, class. And I would ask you, And you should ask me, do we still retain our integrity even when God takes from our life? She said, curse God. Now Satan wants him to curse him. Now his wife wants him to curse God and die. I love Job's response in verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? That means tragedy or difficult times. In all this, did not Job, what class? Sin with his lips. And so Job said, his wife said, why don't you just curse God? Why are you holding on to your integrity? And Job would say, because I fear him, I love him, I worship him, I trust him, and I submit to him. My life is in his hand. He can do whatever he wants. He can give, he can take. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God's people said, amen. Shall we pray?